Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Wednesdays right here in this slot, top of hour two. Kevin Hagan joins us. This is presented by Soul Street Coffee. The site soulstreetcoffee.com. That's S-O-U-L, soulstreetcoffee.com. Kevin knows Kenneth. Well, matter of fact, many in this audience know Kenneth. You've either met him or you've seen him on Twitter, or maybe you saw him at Commitments. He was there too. But Kevin, I know that's good news.
It's phenomenal news. I'm honored to call Kenneth a dear friend, but his coffee is simply the best coffee in the world, Soul Street Coffee. I promoted it on my podcast. I don't accept any financial revenue for any sponsors. I do. I like to promote people that I love their product, and I love Soul Street Coffee. It is truly the greatest coffee I've ever tasted in the world. I figured it up last night. I've had 8 different of his flavors. They're all awesome, but I'm telling you, Tennessee chicory and vanilla bourbon are just off the charts good. But I got to tell you, Kenneth, chocolate raspberry is calling my name, so I have no doubt that's going to be number 9.
SoulStreetCoffee.com. Kevin Hagan with us talking Alabama. So what is the news that's out there? What is Bama waiting on right now with players?
Well, they've had a nice little run here in recruiting. They picked up a commitment recently from Will Anderson, who's an outside linebacker / defensive end out of Dutchtown High School in Hampton, Georgia. And Bill, I don't care who else Alabama adds to the 2020 class, Will Anderson will be my favorite player in this class, just like Antonio Alfano was last year. Not only is he a phenomenal football player, great leadership skills, great human being off the field, he's a complete package. And I think Will Anderson, like Antonio Alfano in last year's class, I think they're going to be the next absolute superstar defensive players at Alabama. I think Will Anderson will have a Jonathan Allen-like career at Alabama. I could not be more elated to add him as the 20th member to the class. And, of course, Alabama did have a D commitment from to Ricky Wright, but that's kind of just making room. And there'll be a couple more of those happen as Alabama adds to it. When you think about it, Bill, when you book in last year's 2019 class to this 2020 class looking at defense, Alabama just really loaded up on the defensive line in the secondary last year. I think it'll end up being the best defensive line class Alabama's had in the Nick Saban era. And the priority of linebackers this year, and Alabama just continues to add elite linebacker after elite linebacker in this class. Will Anderson, Chris Braswell, DeMoy Kennedy, who's another person I think is going to have a phenomenal career at Alabama. Darius Robinson, another incredible get for Alabama at the linebacker position, and Drew Andrews. This is just a phenomenal linebacking class for Alabama. And like pieces of a puzzle, it fits right in with the defensive line in the secondary last year. So Alabama is setting itself up to have some incredible defensive talent moving forward in the next couple of years. And I could not be more excited about that.
What about Jaquelin Roy?
Yeah, Jaquelin Roy out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's an Alabama-LSU battle, but Alabama feels like they're in a very strong position to be a very serious contender for his commitment. And he's another one that I would love to see Alabama add to this class. And you know, Alabama's had a lot of success going in recruiting players out of the Baton Rouge area. And Bill, would not surprise me at all to see Alabama add Roy to this class.
And they still feel pretty good about Zachary Evans, right?
Oh, yeah. Alabama's in a commanding position with Zachary Evans, absolutely.
And that's a big-time running back. Now, We'll find out once we get him on the field if he's generational, but folks over there say that they think he is. So we'll find out, soon enough.
Yeah, that's what we keep hearing, that he is a generational-type running back. Of course, Alabama has a major, major visitor today, Xavier Hill, the offensive guard out of Olive Branch, Mississippi Olive Branch High School. He's coming in on a visit today, and he is going to have the red carpet rolled out to him. He was a player Alabama felt really good about. They have him extremely high on their board. He's listed on a couple sites as a three-star player. Alabama has him right at the top of their guard position board, and he's coming in today. They felt really good about him. He had a visit to College Station, Texas, a couple weeks ago, and Texas A&M made a really strong impression upon him. So this is a critical visitor for Alabama, and he, as I said, he will get the red carpet treatment. And depending on how his visit goes today and how Alabama feels about, you know, getting back into control, whether or not they're back in control of his recruitment or not, we'll have a long way to go with how Alabama puts the pressure on Justin Rogers, the Kentucky commitment that came into Alabama last week on an official visit. The visit went extremely, extremely well. Those are the top two guards on Alabama's board. So we'll see how it goes with Xavier Hill today, and that'll determine on the heat whether or not the heat gets turned up on Justin Rogers or not. I will be surprised if Alabama does not add one of those two young men to the 2020 class.
Is Mac Jones the for sure number two quarterback?
Well, hopefully. That's the dream. The dream is for Mac Jones to step up and become the number two quarterback, because Alabama, although they feel really excited about the future of Talia Tagovailoa, the younger right-handed brother of Tua Tagovailoa, they would love to redshirt Talia this year. But in order for that to happen, Mac Jones is going to have to step up and be the man. And he's been able to do it in practice. You watch Mac Jones practice, you know, and at times, you know, he's a phenomenal player. It's all about putting it together on Saturdays for Mac Jones. He kind of struggled in spring practice. I think a lot of that had to do with the pressure he felt from Talia Tagovailoa, but then he turned around and had a strong A-Day. So, yes, he's one of the players in early fall camp in August. It's Alabama's wish that Mac Jones will step up and secure that number two quarterback position.
Because if he doesn't, and again, pure speculation by the host of the show, but if he doesn't end up as the number two guy, you would think he'd jump into that portal like everybody else does, right?
Well, I will put it this way. If he doesn't secure that number two position early in the fall camp, he is going to be passed by Talia Tagovailoa. And unless, you know, he wants to spend the rest of his career, you know, being a backup holder for PATs and field goals, then yeah, he knows it. And that's another question about Mac Jones. And I'm a big Mac Jones fan. Don't get me wrong. I've rooted for the young man. I've seen him do things in practice. I want him to see him do on Saturday, but like I said, he didn't handle the pressure of that quarterback competition great in spring practice. How's he going to handle that pressure now that we are going to August camp? Because Talia Tagovailoa, he showed it with the touchdown pass he threw in the A-Day game. He's an extremely talented quarterback. So, but you know, it's all about Mac Jones putting it together. But what you just have to tell Mac is, hey man, you control your destiny. Now it's up to you to see what you do.
Tell me, this upcoming Alabama team, where will they be better? The units where you anticipate them being better than they were a year ago?
I think the secondary will be much improved this year. It'll be a big advantage to get Trevon Diggs back. His prolonged injury last year was a big, big blow to there. Patrick Surtain Jr. being another year older. Josh Jobes is going to factor into that. And when you throw in Xavier McKinney at the safety position and Jared Maiden, as I've talked to people in the offseason, the three players that I think are critical that Alabama keep healthy to have the season they want to have this year, those three players to me are Tua Tagovailoa, Dylan Moses at middle linebacker, and Xavier McKinney at strong safety, because Xavier's going to be the quarterback of the secondary. You throw in players like Jeffrey Carter. It is just going to be a deeper, more talented secondary for Alabama. I know there was a lot of angst coming out of the national championship game and their horrific performance against Clemson. But part of that, too, is my next thing, is that Alabama's going to have a much improved pass rush this year. You get Terrell Lewis back. You get Chris Allen back. Those are two key pass rushers. The defensive line is going to be deeper and more talented. DJ Dale, the true freshman, I think is going to have an immediate impact on the nose guard. So I think coupled with an improved pass rush on the front end and then another year and deeper talent in the secondary, I think the entire pass defense for Alabama is going to be much improved. And I think one of the things that we're going to see as a byproduct of the Steve Sarkisian era is it's not they're going to, you know, jettison the passing game, because if you look at any of these preseason magazines, everyone agrees, and I would too, that Alabama has the most talented wide receiving core in the nation for Tua to throw to. But I think you're going to see more of a pro-style running game this year than we have in the RPO situation this year. And that's the big question for me on the offensive side of the ball. Is we know who our tackles are going to be. It's going to be Alex Leatherwood on the left side and Jedrick Wills on the right side. The question is going to be the three in the middle. How quickly can Chris Owens, if in fact it is Chris Owens, how quickly can he take control at the center position? And then who will the guards be? Will it be true freshman Evan Neal? Will it be Matt Womack? We know Deontay Brown's facing a suspension, probably 4 games to start the year. Will Emil Ekular figure in at the guard position? So I've had several Alabama fans ask me what I thought about the offensive line this year, and I do think it's going to be improved, but I think it's going to be a couple of games into the season until they get the final starting five figured out, get their communication down. And let's be honest, that offensive line doesn't really have to be clicking on all cylinders until Alabama heads to College Station in early October.
Kevin Hagan with us every Wednesday, presented by Soul Street Coffee. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. It is a wonderful, delicious coffee. How many different blends do you think he's got right now?
Well, I know of eight that I've had. I've had Tennessee chicory, vanilla bourbon, pralines and cream, gingerbread, peppermint mocha. I tried the snickerdoodle at Christmas, and then two special blends. He did a special houndstooth crew blend for our crew, and the coffee cattleman blend. And as I said, I haven't had chocolate raspberry yet, but if I don't place an order today, it'll be this week. So, you know, those are what, 9 or 10 that I know of. And that's a great thing about his site is he's constantly rotating new blends in, and they're just all absolutely phenomenal. I've not had a single bad blend from him, and I've given this away to as a present to a number of, you know, friends and family that have everything what you give them. I've given them this as a Christmas present or a birthday present, and every single one of them has come back and said, that's the best coffee I've ever drank in my life, and I couldn't agree more. It's phenomenal coffee.
I agree. Kevin, we'll see you next week, sir.
Hey, as always, have a great day, everybody, and roll tide.
Top of hour number three, we've got Josh Newberg. Jeff Ketchum is with us as well. Yeah, Ketch is going to get out of bed. Believe it or not, he's going to rise and shine, do the show at about 8:30 Central Time. Tickets at Primo Seats. Primo Seats for all of your ticket needs. And remember, use the name in the promo code box, Bill is King. That will get you an additional approximate 5% off. Primo Seats for all your ticket needs. Concerts, sporting events. That covers the whole planet, right? What else would you need a ticket for? Sporting events, concerts. If you can think anything else, look on the site and find that too. PrimoSeats.com for all your ticket needs. You're going to like the pricing. You're going to like the discount. Use the name Bill is King. That will help you out. Let's get the break. We are coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Still clearing that crash on 24 West in Bakertown just before the Haywood Lane exit. The left lane is still blocked toward Bell Road. You will have to merge right. Ellington Parkway developing some slowdowns southbound near Cleveland. 65 South and 24 Eastbound are still slow toward Trinity Lane. Smashville Moving Company will clean out your basement, attic, or garage. SmashvilleMovingCompany.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 $3 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat food that's hot and meaty. You want Penn Station East Coast subs, grilled steak and onions, baked bready goodness, and fresh cut fries. Answer your craving. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro on Memorial Boulevard or Medical Center Parkway. For June, try the delicious Italian sub with amazing fresh cut fries and drink at the special monthly price. Penn Station, hot meaty goodness.
Hey, Bill King here. You want to get your business on my show? Let me explain something. Our advertisers are not just local. We have such a huge streaming audience that our advertisers are everywhere. So if you want to grow your business, you want us to help you do that, email PhyllisKing7, that's number 7, PhyllisKing7 at gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. We'll get your business on the radio, and we'll help you grow your business. Contact us if you want your brand to grow on my show, PhyllisKing7. At gmail.com.
The scouts had to come up with a whole new star system just to classify him. It's Bill King.
All right, Omni Nashville Hotel, we will be in that neighborhood Friday. We'll be at the Southern Steak and Oyster if you happen to be in the area. Come on by. 888-702-5494, Twitter at Bill S. King. Email the show, BillSKing7, number 7, at gmail.com. Yeah, I was asking, that year that Illinois, my boy the Zucker, beat the Buckeyes, was that 07? That crazy, wacky, dysfunctional 07 season. That's the modern day craziest year ever. Somebody said that maybe that the next closest one would be 1990. So we're talking 30 years ago in essence. That's the year Colorado and Georgia Tech split it. Split natties there. 1990. But 07, Illinois beat then number one Ohio State 28-21. The Zucker did. That year, the Zucker got them to the Rose Bowl. They lost to Pete the Poodle. But still, you get Illinois to the Rose Bowl, that ought to be a lifetime guaranteed contract. Seriously, a forever contract. It's even covered when you're dead. Yeah, it still pays when you die. That's what that ought to mean. Yeah, that was the 07 season. 28-21. Boy. Seems like yesterday. Zucker was kind of like Houston Dale Nutt. Now, he didn't accomplish as much as Houston Dale Nutt did as a head coach. But He loved the show. Zucker got a big kick out of the show. We had fun with the Zucker now. We had lots of fun with the Zucker. I'd like to go water skiing with him. No, I wouldn't. I'd probably get killed. No, he barefoots and all that stuff. Dude's a maniac, I'm telling you. He's cray-cray. The Zucker is. Josh Newberg, top of the hour, and we've got Jeff Ketchum from Orange Bloods coming up as well today. So a bunch to get into. Let me update you on the baseball in case you haven't been able to tune in until now. The Auburn and Louisville game never got resumed. They never were able to start it back up after the rain had everything postponed. So they're going to play this morning starting at 11. They're going to finish that game up. Right after that is the Vandy Boys and hashtag Hail State game. Some consider those two the best two teams in the thing. I think it's a little early. Got to remember, this is almost a two-week-long tournament. It's a damn long tournament. For me, it's too long. Boy, if I had to be on the beat and be out at the College World Series, which is a cool event, but for almost 2 weeks be stuck out there, no thanks. And Omaha's a good town. It's not a knock, but it's a damn long tournament. I told you, when we did the tournament in 07, there were days during the tournament where there's no baseball. So we'd just be in the middle of a parking lot at Rosenblatt Stadium doing the show in blazing heat in an empty parking lot by a neighborhood in the middle of Omaha, right next to Council Bluffs, Iowa, right next to the Henry Dorley Zoo. Just randomly in a parking lot doing the show, talking about whatever. I'm not sure what we talked about. Well, that was, think about this now. That was June of 07. We were on the eve of the wackiest college football season in modern history, the 07 season. I don't know if we were predicting that or not. We probably weren't predicting that. Josh up in London, Ohio says, that was a crazy year, that 07 year. And then Ohio State ended up losing to the Mad Hatter, Lesticles. Yeah, the sweater vest lost another one. This time to LSU. That's why Buckeye fans in general, they look back, they like the sweater vest. I'm not trying to be a revisionist here, but he irritated them because they won a lot with the sweater vest. They won a natty, beat Miami in a controversial game, but beat them. And then got to, what, three other natties and really got beat pretty bad in all those. But the thing about Tressel, and this can happen to fan bases. You can have a coach who wins a lot, but he doesn't necessarily win the big one, meaning maybe a natty, and the style of play starts irritating you. And the sweater vest wasn't flashy enough. It grew old. Now, that's not why he's no longer the coach there. Terrell Pryor is the reason there. But fans were fidgety. He'd be playing a MAC team, and it was maybe only 7 points difference heading into the fourth quarter. You knew they were going to win, but it was just sloppy. It was boring. That's just the way it was. It was the sweater vest. Wasn't like Urban Meyer where there's a lot of flash and you feel like you're getting everything for your money out of this one. No, it wasn't. The style became cumbersome. And I know, for example, Yipsy Terry. Oh, my God. Yipsy Terry would call in and just, and Yipsy Terry loves the Buckeyes. But the sweater vest irritated him to no end. I think Josh, too, to a certain extent. Just, it just, That can happen to a fan base. Seriously. You can be winning. You can be winning a lot. But it just, it gets boring. That kind of happened at Georgia with Mark Richt. Now, Mark Richt never won a daddy. But he had a lot of good teams. A lot of good players. Won a whole lot of games. But remember, just like Fulmer with Randy Sanders, Rick wouldn't do anything with his defensive coordinator until it was almost too late. That was his buddy. That was his boy. They go back to Miami together. Willie Martinez was Georgia's Randy Sanders. Fulmer wouldn't do anything to Randy Sanders. The offense was inept most of the time under RS. Fulmer wouldn't do anything because that's his boy. That's his, metaphorically speaking, adopted son. So I'm not going to do anything. And I think it really did cost him his job. Now, remember, Cutcliffe came back in, Cut did, and saved the day briefly, but then Cut jumped right back out of the nest and got the Duke job. And then Fulmer thought, I'm going to hire the claw fence. That'll fix it. And everybody gets fired. That's what happened. I'm just saying. I'm. That's the way it went down. Wouldn't do anything about it. And every time I'd see Fulmer, he'd bring it up. Said, yes, Philip, I've only mentioned this 750 million times. It's all on tape. Buckeye Brenda this morning checking in. Says, Bill, Omaha is hot and humid as an armpit during the summer. Oh, I experienced it. She says, speaking of the vest, lost that game on a fluke play that should have been reviewed and reversed early in the game, in that Illinois game. You know what? I'll have to go back and look at that. I don't remember specifics there. I remember watching it thinking, Illinois is not going to upset Ohio State, are they? And I said that until the final second ticked off the clock. I remember thinking, there's no way. That can't happen. The good thing for the Buckeyes is that year they didn't really matter. They got to the Natty because 07 had everybody acting crazy. Yeah, I need to go back and look at that. I forget that moment in the game. I wish I could tell you I remember. I don't remember a lot of specifics about that game for whatever reason. I think I was just too infatuated with the Zucker to pay attention to the actual game at the time. My boy, the Zucker. Josh Newberg coming up top of the hour. We'll talk some FSU with him. I'm assuming Berg isn't watching the baseball, so I doubt I'll bring up baseball. Florida State is 1-1 right now at the College World Series. 1-1. So they're still around. All good. Got to remember now, if you win your side, you get to the championship game, everything resets. It's the best of three. Right now, you can't lose two before you get to the championship series. But if you win your side, and you can have one loss or less, obviously, it resets for the championship, best of three. So the Noles are still awake, still doing okay. Bottom of the hour break. We're coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
A crash in central Nashville on 8th and Broadway near Hume Fogg High School. Another wreck on Donaldson Pike at Knapp Boulevard near B&A Express Park in front of the Church Point Charging Station. 65 South and 24 East are slow toward Trinity Lane. Ellington Parkway still slow southbound around Cleveland and toward Spring Street. It's better to know them than not know them. Free at last bail bonding. Call 615-242-FREE. That's 615-242-3733. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that four-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. A chance of showers and thunderstorms for this morning. Partly sunny with your high at 87. Showers and thunderstorms overnight, your low at 71. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms in the morning and then cloudy. Becoming sunny in the afternoon with your high near 85. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Laura.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with at Bill is King on Twitter or 888-702-5494.
Josh Newberg coming up top of the hour, 24/7 Sports, Florida State. Also, Jeff Ketchum, Orange Bloods, that's a Rivals site. Back to former Rick. Coaches that are out of place a long time, and they're surrounded by friends, buddies. I think what happens, I'm not sure what the term is here, but I think at some point you become so comfortable that you can't see from the outside in. See, that never happens to Nick Saban. Nick Saban won't let that happen. It happens to most humans, but it doesn't happen to Saban. Happened to Fulmer, happened to Richt. Tell you who's got a nice setup where everything is rolling big time right now. And it's kind of like a family atmosphere. That's Clemson. Is Dan Brooks still the D-line coach? I need to look that up. Dan Brooks had been with Dabo a while. And he was at Tennessee all those years with Fulmer, Dan Brooks. I'll tell you some funny stories about him. He's a nice guy, but I don't really know him well, but he's a nice guy. But I'll tell you some funny stuff there. Jeff, too, has dialed us up. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. What's going on, sir?
Well, I've been praising it on Twitter. Just wanted to say again how pumped and excited I am for Kevin Hagan and Kenneth. That's a great partnership, and I'm glad that you're on your show doing that. And that's going to be awesome, Bill, for the foreseeable future. And I texted you about yesterday. I wanted to get in on this. Yesterday we were talking about contracts in between guests and everything else. And I actually wanted to share a personal story with you that I think you will thoroughly enjoy. It goes a little something like this. Yeah, as you know, I've born and raised big Alabama fan, into a family of massive Alabama fans, going all the way back to Alabama's first football season in 1892. But when I was 13 years old, we moved to Jackson, Mississippi, and it was there that I met the closest friends that I will ever have. And when it came time for me to choose a college, I actually went to Ole Miss, and I followed my friends there, and I was fraternity brothers with them and everything else. I say that for this. In my fraternity, one of my closest friends, we used to talk football and hang out. And I went back the year after I graduated Ole Miss, and for graduation of one of my other friends there. And I don't know if you know this, but way back in the day, Johnny Vault used to have his number in the phone book. And one of my classmates from high school was a third-string quarterback at Ole Miss, and he called him up. And had just said, Coach, I want some advice, anything else. You mind if I come on over or we can meet up? And Coach Vaughn invited him over to his house, and they talked for like 3 or 4 hours. And he told us this story, and I was sitting there going, well, I wonder if we just call him up, if he'll invite us over, and we can get pictures and hang out and talk with him. So we called him up, and I think I can share this on air. I don't think it's too bad language-wise, but it was funny because we called, and John Jr., his son, answered the phone. And I said, look, we're going, Ole Miss grads, wanted to come over and spend some time with Coach Falk, just talk to him for a while, does he mind? And he said, Dad, a couple of kids want to come over and see you. Do you mind if they do that? And Johnny Vault in the background says, you tell them boys to get their ass over here right now. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, one of the greatest coaches of all time just told us to get over there right now. So anyway, we get there, and in his house, he lived right off Highway 6 there in Oxford, right beside John Grisham's house. And he has a glass door in the front. So we come up, and the glass door is the door's open, the glass door, and Johnny Ball's sitting there at a desk. And he waves us in, and we can't go in because the door's locked. And he comes up, and he says, sorry, boys. He said, my son locked the door. He said, come on in. So we sit there and talk for an hour with Johnny Vault, take pictures, everything else in his house. And John Jr. comes in, and he says, look, fellas, I appreciate you being here. I just want to tell you a story about my dad because he won't tell you this. He said, here's how much he loved Ole Miss and how much he believed in that team in the late 50s and early 60s. He said, in 1956, Texas, I believe they just gotten rid of Ed Price, and right before they hired Darrell Wool, they came to Oxford. Because, Johnny Vault went to TCU, and he has Texas ties and everything. So Texas came to Oxford and wanted Johnny Vault before Darrell Wool. And they offered and Coach Vault confirmed this. They offered Johnny Vault in 1957 a 5-year, $150,000 contract to be the highest paid coach in football. And he said, look, I've got a great team. I've got a great line of teams coming up here. I just can't do it because Texas had just gone 1-9 in 1956. And Darrell Wool, it took him, I think, 5 or 6 years to get the train righted there. And he says, look, it's just going to take a long time to build down there. I got some good things going. Johnny Vault stayed. And from 1957 to 1963, he went 67-6-1. He won 3 national championships, 4 SEC, 5 SEC titles, and who knows what would have happened had he said yes to Texas and everything else. But it was just hearing that story and everything else, and we were just sitting there with our mouths were just wide open. I was just sitting there going, my gracious. I mean, he says, that was a lot. He says, they offered my dad the first 6-figure contract, multi-year contract in college football history, and he turned it down because he felt so strongly about that Ole Miss team. And you look at it, from 1957 to 1963, Ole Miss was arguably, Ole Miss and Alabama were probably the 2 best programs in the college football. The last thing I'll share is this, just being an Alabama fan, is Coach Vault mentioned his just love and affirmation for Coach Bryant. He said Coach Bryant was his closest friend, and he very rarely referred to him as Bear. He either called him Paul, or he called him Coach Bryant. And he showed his pictures of them fishing together, their vacation together, their wives are close friends, and that just meant a lot to me. And as a matter of fact, I told him, I said, Coach Vault, I was born and raised in Alabama fan. To tell you the truth, I'm still an Alabama fan in the same sense. Well, look, if I wasn't an Ole Miss fan or an Ole Miss coach, I'd be an Alabama fan too. So you're okay. But I just thought I'd share that with you. I thought you'd enjoy it.
And, that's a heck of a story. Wow.
Yes, sir. I mean, it was just, what if? I mean, I talked about, you know, what if Len Bias hadn't passed? What if Johnny Vaught goes down to Texas? Does he flame out? You know, who comes into Ole Miss, everything else? But because he stayed from 1957 to 1963, Ole Miss, you know, and Alabama, you know, the two arguably best teams during that time frame, you know, multi-national championships for both, multi-SEC titles for both. And I think he went 66 or 67, 6-1 during that 6 or 7 year time frame and had two undefeated seasons. So it was, he knew what he was talking about. So, but Bill, thank you so much for all you do. I hope you have a great day.
Good stuff there, Jeff. That's the kind of story I love hearing. Johnny Vaught. Johnny Vaught will forever be the name that's attached to Ole Miss. Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Johnny Vaught. Incredible. He actually came back for 1 year in the early 70s. I think it was 71 to take over for Coach Terry Kinnard. 1 year. He lived, Johnny Vaught lived on into his 90s. I don't remember when he died, but lived forever. Long, long time. That's a heck of a story. Buckeye Brenda says, that 07 Illinois Buckeye game, Daniel Dufresne, it was an 80-yard run for Illinois in the first quarter. There was a fumble that the Buckeyes recovered in the end zone, but it was ruled down at the 3. Yeah, I'll have to go back. If I see it, I'll probably remember it. Interesting. I'm glad you pointed that out. I'll go back and look at that. Hawkeye Jason says, Bill, there was solid stability with Frank Beamer and his 29 years at Virginia Tech. His first 6 seasons, he was 24-40-2. The AD, though, believed in him and thought he deserved more time. Then he went 23 straight years going to bowl games and 7 top 10 finishes. Yeah, Beamer ball was good ball. He's a good dude too, man. Johnny Vaught died in 06, Jeff says. He was 96 at the time. 96. I never met him. Again, he was retired, almost 20 years before I got in this business. But I know the one time, and Charlie says we need to get a break, get a call, but I know the one time I went to Tunica, I was in there, and somebody came up to me and because I know Billy Brewer was there. Billy Brewer was in there, and it was one of those, isn't there like a food court there or something? I've only been there once, and it was literally before Saban won a natty at LSU. It was early 2000s. Saban was at LSU. I'll tell you what it was. It was right after, it was the summer after the 01 big LSU upset over Tennessee in the SEC championship game, which ruined Fulmer's chance to return to the Natty. And I was down there watching Saban. I was heading to Florida, but I wanted to hear Saban. And this is before Saban had become the superstar. But he was well-known. He was getting well-known. But he was talking about the big upset in that game and how they were outmanned but figured out a way to win it and all that. But I was in the food court, and I think somebody came up to me and said Johnny Vaught was in there. But I didn't get to meet him, if I'm remembering correctly. This is a while back. This is, again, the summer of, what would that have been, 02? Been a while. Okay, got to get the break. Coming right back. We got a call. I'm not going to tell you who, but we've got a call. Omni Nashville Hotel.
24 West is slammed in South Nashville thanks to a wreck on Hickory Hollow Parkway. 3 vehicles on the left shoulder. Does not appear that anyone's injured, but all westbound lanes near there are full. Still clearing crashes on 8th and Broadway near Hume Fog High School and on Donaldson Pike near B&A Express Park.
Smashville Moving Company. Moving, hauling, cleaning, no job is too big. SmashvilleMovingCompany.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches, plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30, catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Inner Zen Outer Beauty, located on the fourth floor of Omni Nashville Hotel, Makara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the luxury of the signature Makara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa experience. Treat yourself to everything from a soothing facial to full salon services in the heart of downtown Nashville. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600 or visit the Makara Spa on the Omni Nashville website. As always, valet is complimentary, and any service booked Monday through Thursday grants you full access to our rooftop pool and bar.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Music City Todd approved. The Bill King Show.
Omni Nashville Hotel. We're going to be a couple blocks away at the Southern Steak and Oyster Friday morning. Come on by. Cosby Cattleman.
Happy hump day, Moisture King. Break out that canoe and get on the Harpeth River.
Keep the diesel out of the sea, dude.
There you go. Hey, Bill, I wanted to stay on topic with you today, but I'll show you. We're in the horse latitudes of the sports season.
Yeah.
I'll show you a little difference from the Double C Ranch and over in Wilco. I know you've been watching this fake baseball with the aluminum bats.
Correct.
Flip it over to NBCSN right now if you got a TV handy.
Well, I don't have the clicker within reach.
Well, I'm sure, you know, find it if you can. You can see what the Cattleman's up to the next 5 days. NBCSN right now.
Okay.
Hey, Bill, okay, first off, let's stay on topic. One thing you were talking about, I've been listening to the show this morning, talking about all that mess down there, the sewer down here in Hogtown with Herb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're waiting for Robbie Andrew and Fatso Pat Dooley to break a story on Florida football, you're going to be waiting a long time. About misconduct.
So the Percy Harvin throwdown, they're not gonna write about that?
Nah, they're a bunch of homers. That's the company store down there. Might as well be the Independent Alligator they're writing for. you know it's crazy, Bill. I talk about the Knoxville media crew, which is awesome. John Adams is the best, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Fatso Pat Dooley doesn't even try to hide that he's a Florida fan. And yet they treat him like he's a media guy when all he is a Florida hack. Doesn't even try to hide it. Admits it.
So he might as well be working for CNN, is what you're saying.
There you go. To turn on and see what Trump did wrong overnight.
Yeah.
Moving along here, Bill. I wanted to say one thing about it. I heard you talking about Illinois football, and then I want to do a shoulda, woulda, coulda, playing off your last call about Spurrier.
Okay.
How many years is this for Lovey Dovey up there at Illinois? Ben Counters will clean it up.
Lovey, I think, is it year three? It hadn't been long.
I want to say it might be year four for him. Well, I can't look it up on this call here, but, you know, Bill, maybe Illinois football, you know, he's the former Bears coach. I think he had a one decent year with the Bears or so, a couple of decent years. You think maybe the thinking at Illinois is, okay, Illinois football is nothing. We got the former Bears coach. We can probably sell that to the fans. Do you think that's what's going on there? It's kind of like a Rick Barnes is bigger than UT basketball. Rick Barnes has been to a Final Four. You think that might
probably
be part of the calculus?
Probably.
Just like it's just we're just going to be a bottom feeder in the Big Ten as far as the eye can see. So let's he's a minority that never hurts in the university community too, and just we'll have the former Bears coach and just kind of play off that for as long as we can.
Illinois 16, 17, 18. He's going into year four.
Yeah, what's his record? His record's pretty bad, isn't it?
His record at Illinois, well, in college, his overall record.
I don't care about the Bears.
He's 9-27 so far.
Yeah, what's he for the Big Ten if you're looking at his Wikipedia page? What's his Big Ten record?
I don't have that in front of me. I've just got the nine. I'm assuming a lot of those wins are probably non-conference.
Yeah, and, you know, he lives on top of CoachesHotSeat.com. I think he was in the top five of CoachesHotSeat.com all last year.
Right.
He's probably lucky to still be there, especially if it is year four. But, you know, Bill, I play this card a lot. I was looking at your buddy, the Tinfoil Man's magazine the other night.
Yeah.
And he's got FAU as his number two most improved team. I think he's actually got Tennessee number seven most improved, by the way. But, you know, you don't get any calls about Illinois football unless it's something like that, somebody busting on them.
By the way, his league record after 3 years is 4-23.
I guess where I'm going with this, Bill, let's just put Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Illinois all in there together. Nobody gives a damn, so why don't you hire Kiffin and make the country pay attention?
Well, to me, Georgia Tech's the best job there because you're in Atlanta. And,
yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, if you want some sex appeal, you know, bring the West Coast in there. I mean, nobody's going to pay attention to – look at Baylor, okay? The Browns boys, you know, jacking them up. They got some attention. But outside of something like that, the Illinois of the world, the Oregon States of the world, nobody cares. So
West Coast Sooner, who lives out in L.A., wants to know, when you were at Tennessee, who was your favorite player?
Kind of like J.J. McCleskey. Remember him?
Little walk-on from Knoxville.
Played for the Saints for a lot of years.
Played pro ball, and he was a walk-on.
Yeah, he's like 5'8", undersized, 165 pounds.
Correct.
Probably Johnny Major's favorite player. Good player. Played. I think he had about nearly a 10-year NFL career.
Very good player.
Let's get on to Spurrier real quick, Bill.
Yeah.
You know the woulda, shoulda, coulda is with Tennessee. I'll go over the highlights. But wasn't there a deal where LSU had a shot at Spurrier and they passed for, what, Mike Archer? Is that right?
I think they brought him in there to talk, correct. Mike Archer got the gig after. That was right after. Was that after Arnsberger? Who was that after?
I mean, they interviewed Spurrier, right, as the story goes, and they wound up hiring Archer.
Correct.
Hadn't Spurrier said he doesn't really give the best interview? And he said that before. I can see that.
Correct. Spurrier says, I'm not good at interviewing because I don't go in there attaboying myself and all that kind of stuff.
What was he told Foley the second time when they thought about bringing him back? He said for his interview, he pointed at the trophy case, said, go look at it.
Correct.
that sounds like it. But that's a shoulda, coulda, woulda. Can you imagine interviewing Archer? It's always a walk in the casino trying to predict the future. But, I mean, can you imagine passing on Spurrier for Mike Archer? But let's do the two or three quick ones with Tennessee, Bill. You know them by heart. First one, of course, Doug Dickey running the wrong offense. So Spurrier goes off to Florida.
Correct.
1988, Tennessee starts off 0-6. People living on billboards. Spurrier comes in to Neyland Stadium. Tennessee beats them pretty badly, best I remember.
For Duke.
He's an East Tennessee legend.
For Duke, yeah.
You go, you're 0-6. You blast Johnny right there. You could have brought Spurrier right in right there, and there's no Florida Spurrier era. What about those two?
Spurrier would have taken that job in a second.
Think about that for a second. I mean, not only did Tennessee missed him as a player, missed him as a coach. I think there's even a third miss I'm leaving out. But I think I've heard some people say there's even a third. The time has just never been right with Tennessee and Spurrier. But I think there might even be a third time with that I'm leaving out.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, that's all I got for you, Bill. Flip it on NBCSN. You can see some British people sipping bubbly and look at the Queen coming by.
Okay. See ya. Yeah, they were hanging on to Johnny. Duncan Stewart is the guy who got up on the billboard here. If you were here in 88, ball start 0-6, it's a catastrophe. I mean, it's the wheels have come off. The car is sitting on the side of the interstate in a ditch. Anything worth anything on the car has been stripped by thieves, and that's what Tennessee football was, beginning of 88. Major started firing people, moving players around, moving coaches around, fired Ken Donahue. And actually in 89, they went 11-1. But the beginning of 88 was a catastrophe. Hour 3 coming up. Berg will be with us. Jeff Ketchum.